listening to the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
You best know this is ESPN's Major League Baseball theme as we are joined by Buster Olney, ESPN, ESPN.com. At the risk of sounding as if I'm blowing smoke, one of the foremost reasons ESPN Insider, or ESPN Plus they're calling it now, is worth it. He's working the American League Championship Series, part of the ESPN radio team, John Ciambi, Jessica Mendoza. With Buster, the games we're carrying, if you prefer, the national feed and the FM fidelity of ESPN Radio. So Buster joins us on the program. Charlie in the studio, I very much appreciate the time with all the balls that you're juggling. And when I initially made contact, it was going back to the story you wrote back in April or somewhere early in the season about the pine tar tolerance and everyone accepts it. And then the kerfuffle after the video, I think it's been overshadowed on multiple fronts. A.J. Hinch pretty much squelched it as a story. But do you think this is something Major League Baseball is either going to have to just junk the rule or clarify policy?
And you're talking specifically about the foreign substance issue, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I do. I think it's the time has come for Major League Baseball to deal with it because, you know, and really this issue has popped up, I think, out of benign neglect. In that, you know, baseball has understood that the baseballs that it uses, and especially in the postseason when, they're produced at a different time, that they're very slick. And so what's happened is that over time, many players, many pitchers are using foreign substances like sunscreen they put on the wrist of their gloved hand, or maybe they, put pine tar someplace else, and everybody on the field knows what's going on. Anybody who watches a game can see how it happens. When a ball is thrown back to the pitcher, you see the pitcher briefly rub that spot in their forearm, that glistening spot in their forearm that we see with so many pitchers now to help them get grip. And when you talk to hitters, and I talked to a couple yesterday about this very thing, they say, look, I'd rather the pitcher have a better feel for the ball so that he could control it. And what's happened, though, is that every time we get to October, it becomes a big story when there's now more scrutiny and more cameras and screenshots. People go, wow, look at that pitcher, Craig Kimbrell's cap, or, Rick Porcello's forearm. And the fact is within the game that everybody understands that it's taking place. And most pitchers are probably doing something, but we get into this situation where there's a lot of scrutiny on the players. I think, scrutiny on the umpire, scrutiny on the managers to deal with it. And I really wish Major League Baseball would either change the rule, come up with the substance, or change the baseball so the players don't necessarily have to deal with all these questions every year.
The point I make in conjunction with this, Buster, and in fighting off blind homerism, is A.J. Hinch downplayed it because they have guys doing it. It's endemic to the sport the way it's played now.
Every team. Yeah, every team. I mean, all 30 teams have guys doing it.
All right, so your perspective, if the allegations are true, the severity of the Astros' offense with the video, Cleveland-Boston, if it goes back to Oakland, I don't think it's materially impacting how the series is being played out. And Alex Cora says, hey, we're always aware of possible sign stealing. But as alleged, what do you make of this stuff?
Well, it's one small clue into a larger issue that is becoming a growing problem for baseball, and that is the questions of, intelligence and spy versus spy, and to what degree do teams like the Astros go to stealing signs and conveying them quickly to hitters? And I'm working on a column, when you called today, about how Rob Manfred really needs to step in and lay down a hard law and say, this is not going to go on, because Charlie, today I'm talking with baseball officials about questions like, do they now need to worry about bugs in their offices when they go to visiting clubhouses? Questions that I heard about, why is it that the Astros take their bats back to them with them back to the hotel when they're playing on the road? Why would they not lock them up in the clubhouse? On and on and on, questions about whether or not they have baseball teams should have to develop their own situation room that has security. Questions about whether or not they would use the Wi-Fi in a given ballpark. It's terrible for baseball to have this going on, and it was pointed out to me by a couple times, by a couple people today. We've seen all this postseason of so many pass balls and wild pitches and cross-ups and that. That's because of the paranoia over the sign stealing. Now, maybe some of it's real, maybe some of it's not. We don't know exactly what Kyle McLaughlin was trying to get with that camera in the visiting photographer well. But the fact is that the conversation and the issue is destructive for baseball, and it really it calls for Manfred to step in and lay down new rules about it and basically say, this will not continue.
Talking with ESPN's Buster Olney. Buster, whether in part envy, whether in part there is a little Astros institutional arrogance, any sense of schadenfreude within baseball if the Astros don't repeat, and specifically to yesterday, the day the video story comes out, I have said that from an Astro fan perspective, if an Astro pitcher had to implode and get destroyed, frankly, good that it was Roberto Osuna.
Yeah, and I heard a lot of that today from folks with other teams, because there were, you know, teams, as Alex Cora referenced earlier in the series, the Red Sox decision to pass on Osuna. Other teams passed on Osuna because they couldn't live with themselves with the idea of acquiring the player. So absolutely there was, you know, text messages of karma, et cetera, after that happened. Now, look, one thing I would say about this is that, you know, Jeff Luhnow made that decision, and he has not run from it. Like, when Osuna was introduced, he sat right by him. He talked about, how he felt that Osuna was someone who was acknowledging what he'd done wrong. You know, Alex Bregman, other players, after the game last night, talking about what a good teammate Osuna's been. But there's no question about it. They made a deal for a player that other teams just had no interest in acquiring because of the concern over what happened in Toronto earlier this year.
It's not a literal must-win. Any idea that the Astros couldn't possibly, as good a team as they are, beat the Red Sox three consecutive games, as good a team as the Red Sox are, it's just silly. We know how baseball works. Having said that, if the Astros don't win tonight, the best that they could do is have to go to Fenway down 3-2 as opposed to the Yankees here 3-2. How would you gauge the stakes tonight, Morton versus Porcello?
Well, on paper, I think it favors the Red Sox because of the questions around Charlie Morton. You know, he's only pitched 10 innings in the last 38 days. He had the health issue at the end of the year, the shoulder issue. So everyone's going to wonder at the beginning of the game how he's going to do. The same questions, you know, hovered over David Price in Game 2, and he was okay. He hadn't really pitched that much. So certainly the Astros have the depth to work through it. They have a lot of other arms in their bullpen. And it might be that if Charlie struggles a little bit early, that A.J. will manage aggressively. And, you know, they have a lot of accomplished players. As A.J. said last night, they're not going away. They have a lot of experience in the postseason. My goodness, you think about what happened in the Yankees series last year, in the Dodgers series. And time and again, the Astros picked themselves up. But an unfortunate part of this whole conversation, about... you know, the presence of the Astros employee in the dugout. In listening to people with other teams today, they're like, well, you know what? Since they took that employee out, the Astros haven't hit the last 2 days. That's just one, I think, end result of this whole conversation. I think it undercuts the credibility of what goes on in the sport, and it's really unfortunate. I wish it was just about baseball today.
Last thing. The Bradley home run blowing open the game was item one, but I really thought a big boost for the Sox. They didn't have to even consider stretching out Brazier. 14 pitches for him, Barnes 16, Joe Kelly 4 pitches. I presume with 3 days in a row of games. What do you think the odds are of Price getting in the game tonight if Porcello's not deep? Cora, I think, would feel like he has his pen exactly where he wants if, knock on wood, he can trust Kimbrel in the ninth.
Yeah, and to be clear, before this postseason began, I thought the Red Sox bullpen was going to be the biggest question mark.
Yeah.
It's why I didn't pick them to win the first round. It's why I didn't pick them to win this round. But those guys, Joe Kelly, Brazier, Matt Barnes, they've been terrific. And it might be that, you know, he would use Price out of the bullpen tonight. Of course, he's lined up to pitch game six. But a lot of it, I think, is going to be determined, some of the choices that they make, by what Chris Sale shows in the catch that he plays this afternoon. He's going to throw. He'll give the Red Sox an indication about how he's feeling. As you know, a lot of questions about how healthy he is. Will he be able to pitch in game five? But here's the thing. When you're around Alex, Alex Cora, I think you clearly learned from the experience that the Astros had in the World Series last year after Ken Giles was taking out a closer's role, that on a day-to-day basis, they just look at what they have and try to figure out how to get through that day's game, how to win that moment, and he's done an excellent job of that in this postseason. just as A.J. Hinch did last October.
Buster Olney, ESPN. Know you're extremely busy across radio, TV, and writing, so extra appreciation for the time. We'll see you at the park and hear you on the broadcast.
Okay, I appreciate it, Charlie.
Thank you, Buster. We get our last break in and come back with Carlos Pena. Now, that is a finishing 1-2 punch. A minute for Texas Citizens Bank, full-service personal banking, also passionate delivery of commercial banking needs. Texas Citizens Bank, independent, locally owned, the only bank Gau Media has done business with, the official bank of Gau Media, 6 Houston area locations. And on the small business side, Texas Citizens Bank rates near the top of Houston, ahead of a number of national mega banks. So whether it's a line of credit, funding to expand a facility, update equipment, Texas Citizens Bank can cover your company as it does thousands here in town. You call Texas Citizens Bank, it's not going to be rerouted to some other continent. Their website is their name, texascitizensbank.com. All kinds of information to find the location most convenient for you to get a ball rolling. texascitizensbank.com for Texas Citizens Bank. Mention you heard it on ESPN 97.5 or SportsMap 94.1.
Houston Sports Talk with some certified Angus beefsteaks. What could be better?
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the official ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today by searching ESPN Houston in your app store.